ha, hallelujah. Oh, lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Oh, fill us. Send the glory, sisters, Lord. Fill us an overflow. Hallelujah. And Father, we come before you in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. We just thank you. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the price of Jesus. We thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the angels that put up with us. We thank you for you putting up with us. We thank you for what you've done and how many times you rescued us when we complained because things weren't moving and you were protecting us. Lord, all the goofy things we've done, Lord, through thought, word, or deed, we ask for your forgiveness, please. Wash us with the blood. Purge us with your presence. Fill us afresh. Bring us like-minded with the Christ, heart-minded and will alike in Christ. So that your image, likeness, and character can be manifested in us and through us. Take your rightful place, Holy Spirit, and bring us to another level so we can kick more devil. Grant us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our heart to receive what you have for us. And to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your night. How's everybody tonight? Oh, glory. Turn to Mark 16 for a second, please. Mark 16, verse 16. Lay your hands on your Bible. I want everybody to repeat it after me. This is the word of God. It's true and interpreted by the Spirit to go deep into my inner being, to change me into his likeness, image, and character. In Jesus' name. Verse 16, would you read it with me? And he who... Okay, stop. And he who what? Believe. What's the word believe mean?
Follow.
To follow. Believe means to follow. It's amazing how many believers don't realize that believe means to follow. Yeah, I'm a believer. I'll just go out and do what I feel like doing. No. That's not believing. Well, I'll just go out and do my will, but I'm going to serve God my way. No, that's not believing. You know, there's something that Jesus said. He said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. It's amazing how many sheep that are really goats. They claim to be a sheep, but they're really a goat. Because they don't hear the voice of God. They do what they feel like doing. And are led by a move of man instead of the move of God. Does everybody get it? Let's go a little further. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And I want you to understand, it says, and he who does not believe will be condemned because the individual is not following. And these signs will follow those who believe. So everyone who is truly a follower of Christ, I said a follower of Christ, in other words, Christ means anointed one and his anointing. So he's being led by the Spirit who are called sons of God. Signs will follow you. You don't follow signs. Signs follow you. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. It's amazing how that name right there, that word demon, freaks out many people. See, you're either being led by the Spirit or by a demon anyways. It's one or the other. And who you serve when you die is where you go. And these signs will follow those who believe. If you're truly following and being led by the Spirit who are sons of God, in my name they will cast out demons. Now, you don't have to be concerned about casting out anybody else's demons. First, take care of yours. I always tell people, man, if you feel like you got a demon, you sense it, fill your bathtub up, go in the bathroom, look in the mirror, cast out the devil, fall in the tub and get baptized. Hallelujah. Start all over. In my name they will cast out demons and they will speak with what? Now I want you to understand, he says they're going to speak with tongues. Why? Because they're going to cast out demons by the finger of God, not by intellect. Not by intellect. They're going to cast out demons by the finger of God. Why? Because I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and one of the signs of being baptized in the Holy Ghost is praying in tongues. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And it says, and they will take up serpents. Oh, hallelujah. And if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, that's supposed to be for every believer of the body of Christ. Every believer. And you know, the world is looking for a sign. The Bible says that praying in tongues is a sign to an unbeliever. The Bible says that when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have power to become a witness. But it's amazing how many individuals who start off that way then put it all on the shelf and no longer follow because they are misled. Then they open themselves up to demonic activity and they go right back to where they started from because they didn't maintain. See, remember something very important. No matter what you do as a believer, you better be backed by the anointing. If you're not backed by the anointing, the devil knows it. And you can't outwit the devil without the anointing. He'll outwit you every time. So it's our responsibility to maintain the anointing in our life, isn't it? And in this, remember we talked about maintaining our priesthood, and that's the first thing that God is restoring in the wilderness is the body of Christ and to becoming a priesthood. So we are to be a kingdom of priests, and by doing that, we're going to maintain the anointing. It's not about reading out of a hymn book. Hello? It's not about a couple songs. It's got nothing to do with religiosity. It's nothing to do with the head. It's what to do with the heart. It's what to do with the heart. That's why he says, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. Amen? Praise God. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 18. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Verse 18. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. Ooh, I want you to say that again. Whoever is born of God does not sin. Now, this born again is a representation of a state of being. There are three chambers in the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And that is so significant. And I'm telling you, people don't realize this. When Jesus said, I am the temple, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said, I am the temple of God. I am the temple. And in that, there is a place of a state of being born again. In fact, the outer court is a representation of salvation, isn't it? The holy place is where you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and priesthood begins. The most holy place is where you receive your warrior armor. Because the holy place is a place where your garment, your priestly garments are, which go underneath your full armor of God. There's the first dimension, the second dimension, and the third dimension. And you and I are to be third dimensional warriors. We're to be armed and dangerous, ready in season and out of season. Have nothing to do with intellect, but by the heart and being led by the Spirit, ready to kick butt on the devil, ready to lay hands on the sick, and ready to hear what he has to say and obey his command at any time. That's what he's looking for. And in this state of being, he says, you will not sin. Now, sin represents presence of evil. In other words, you will not fellowship with evil. Transgression is the act of fellowshipping with evil. And iniquity is when you've done the act, it brings a curse on the family line. Has everybody got it? Let's go a little further. But he who has been born of God, what? Keeps himself. So that means you're in a state of born again. You're in a born again state of being. It's amazing on how many times you hear somebody accept Jesus and a person says, well, you're born again. No, you're conceived. The Bible tells us that the seed of God is imparted in him. Now, the Holy Spirit is one who births that seed. And I'm not going to do a teaching on saved or born again tonight, but you can find a tape up there. You know whether somebody's saved or born again. And he was in Christ, old things have passed away and all things have become new. That's born again. I mean, you know when somebody's born again. Man, they are different. They're not saying, yeah, I'm a believer, let's go and party. That's not born again. That's an idiot. And deceived. And religious. There is a state of being in born again. And it says this again. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. See, in that state of being, you are backed by the anointing, and the devil cannot touch the anointing, because the Bible says that the anointing prevails against all the gates of hell. Does everybody got it? So if you're in that state of being, ain't nothing going to touch you. Can't touch this. Satan, you can say that right into the devil's face. Can't touch us. I had a dream one time that I was walking out down a driveway, and all of a sudden a hole opened up. And it was camouflaged like a driveway. And I stepped in it and started falling. And the devil tried to grab me. And all of a sudden I floated up. And I was standing over this water, like, or this hole that was camouflaged, and he was trying to grab me. And he's trying to grab me. And I was just floating over him. Then I began to tease him. Can't touch this. And then I floated over, got on solid ground, and I started backing up. And then another hole opened up. And I was being, and the Lord was expressing to me and how the devil can camouflage himself, and you don't know where you're going to step, but the anointing will keep you. Man, that blew me away. In verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the what? Sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Born of God. That's that born again state of being, isn't it? It is spiritually positioned under the covering of Christ or the anointing, which backs you, through the cooperation of obedience. It is a divine requirement to keep yourselves from the wicked one. Has everybody got it? Do I have to say it again? It is spiritually positioned under the covering of Christ. The word Christ means anointing, under the anointed one, through the cooperation of obedience. See, your obedience is a divine requirement to keep ourselves from the wicked one. Without obedience, you have no right to ask. Hello? If you're not fulfilling what God's told you to do, you're going to get a voicemail. Hello, this is Jesus. Leave your name and number and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Hallelujah. Now I want to share with you something tonight that the Spirit was giving me in the area of the wicked one. The world is under the sway of the wicked one. Now we know that Satan, he's the ruler of the earth, doesn't he? And we also know that he uses his forces, his military. And right now, since the beginning of sorrows, the world is under the sway of the wicked one. He's called the spirit of Pharaoh. All right? And the spirit of Pharaoh that is now used is in under the rule of the as the wicked one through the whole world. Because the world and the body of Christ is in the wilderness. And we will stay here until two events happen, the rapture and the wrath of God. This is it. The beginning of sorrows is almost to an end. The next event will start tribulation. Then we'll go to great tribulation. Is everybody okay? Go to Exodus 7. Exodus 7. Exit stage 7. verse 8. Now we know that the Lord spoke to Moses to say, go set my people free, right? And of course, he had to go to who? Pharaoh. In Exodus 7 and verse 8, would you read it with me? Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh. And let it become a what? Serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Who did he cast down before? Pharaoh and his what? Servants. These are his ministers. Has everybody got it? But Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers. So the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. These are Pharaoh's ministers. Has everybody got it? What do they use? They use magic, witchcraft, and sorcery, don't they? They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Now Pharaoh's ministers duplicated the Lord's ministers, didn't he? But couldn't compete against the anointing. And I want to share with you what's happening right now because of where we're at. Because there are two ministers of Satan's kingdom that are under Pharaoh's authority, the spirit of Pharaoh's authority. And I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Because this is what we are up against right now. And tonight's teaching is called Modern Day Pharisees. Modern Day Pharisees. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 10, would you read it? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Acacia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. So we see here that Paul was expressing that many were trying to interpret becoming apostles or ministers of the Lord. For such false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So we see here Satan has ministers also, doesn't he? But right now we know that we are under, not we are, but the world is under the spirit of Pharaoh, and he has ministers. And these ministers are Pharisees and Sadducees. They are known as religious and Gnostic spirits. Religious and Gnostic spirits, and we're going to talk about this in a second. John 7. John chapter 7. So now you've got Pharaoh, spirit of Pharaoh, and the spirit of Pharisees and Sadducees associated with a religious and Gnostic spirits. In John chapter 7 and verse 14, let's read it together. Now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters, having never studied? Hello. And Jesus answered him, said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. In other words, you and I must discern what we're hearing, what is being preached, whether it's coming from the Spirit or from a man. That is our responsibility. And if the anointing's not backing you, you will not discern. Because the Holy Spirit is one who guides you to all truth, tells you things to come, and interprets the Word of God because He wrote it. Let's go further. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? Then the people answered and said, you have a demon. Oh, hallelujah. You have a demon who is seeking to kill you. Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you are all marvel. Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers, and you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, why are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? You know, Jesus was really throwing up all of their, all of their theology. I mean, he was just messing them all up, man. See, they got so caught up in protecting the scriptures that they lost sight of a relationship with the Almighty God. They were protecting the law. We can't protect the law. The law was made to protect us. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. So it's our responsibility to know the doctrine, whether it's from God or from a man, isn't it? It's our responsibility to discern what we're hearing. Go to 2 John 7, or 2 John verse 7. 2 John verse 7. Everybody there? Let's read it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an anti-Christ. In other words, they're against the anointing. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Now, I want you to understand that he's talking about the doctrine of Christ. Does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ is both the Father and the Son. Now, I want to explain something very important here. Because Jesus came and he shared. The first thing he preached, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Amen. He was acknowledging the anointing, wasn't he? Jesus was the Christ. The things that he taught. Now you got to understand, the doctrine of Christ continued because of the Spirit of Christ came into Paul, who was Saul, who became Paul. Now the Spirit of Christ, when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ came into them. So the doctrine of Christ continued, didn't it? It just didn't stop at the end of here. The doctrine of Christ is still continuing. God is still writing. It didn't end with the Bible. There are books being written. There are revelations being imparted. There are still things that are being written by the Spirit of Christ, which is the doctrine of Christ. Is everybody okay? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now that's powerful. Now you got to understand the doctrine of Christ is the area where Christ died, rose again, sent his Spirit. Hello? And now we are in the ministry of the Spirit, aren't we? And those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. The Bible tells us it is the ministry of the Spirit, not the ministry of the letter. Maybe we better go there. 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. Is everybody there? Let's read it. We have such trust through Christ toward God
That we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. It is the ministry of the Spirit. Go to verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ or in the anointing. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. He's talking about the Spirit of Christ. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is the doctrine of Christ he's talking about. Amen. It is the ministry of the Spirit, the freedom of the Spirit to receive the Word into our innermost being, to be free from religious. Has everybody got it? To be free from any religion or our conscience. Has everybody got it? Is everybody okay? In other words, and by having this, we have correct interpretation of the Word of God by the Spirit of truth. And I'll say this again. The Bible says, with the Spirit of the Lord, there's freedom. In other words, we should be free from religion. The letter kills and the Spirit brings life. It's amazing. And how many people still want to bring the letter up all the time? The Bible says that you and I are the written epistle in our heart. Amen? See, if your heart's right with God, the Word of God, the law, is no burdensome. Because you're being led by the Spirit and you are sons of God. And in this, the Bible says that the Word became flesh. Right? Now the flesh is becoming the Word. Because it becomes a part of your divine nature. So that you are obedient, which is the righteous divine requirement in maintaining the divine nature. So you're obedient to the Word of God, but you're obedient to the voice of God, who is the Word of God. The freedom of the Spirit to receive the Word into our innermost being, to be free from religion and our conscience, and with correct interpretation by the Spirit of truth. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. His greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. Now, I want to share with you something. Gnostic spirits, G-N-O-S-T-I-C, Gnostic, the G is silent. Gnostic spirits associate with deaf and dumb spirits. It is used to prevent people from receiving the Word of God. What it does is it twists the interpretation. Remember, Satan's strategy, especially if you think about it, go back into the Middle Ages, was to keep the Bible out of the hands of common people, wasn't it? That's a Gnostic spirit. Only the elite, professional, scholars, priests were allowed to interpret the Word of God. Of course, they didn't interpret it too correctly, did they? These are called Sadducees. They are associated with the Gnostic spirit. Their primary goal of Gnosticism is to remove the Word of God out of the sight of people, schools, government, courtrooms, the nativity scene, in public places. Do you see it being operated right now even greater than ever before? That is called a Gnostic spirit. The spirit of Pharaoh and two other spirits that are under his authority are the Pharisee and Sadducees. And in that, the Pharisees represent religious spirits. And the Sadducee, of course, Sadducee, they missed it, right? Are Gnostic spirits. Are you listening? And you see that they're operating stronger and stronger and stronger now. And we must know who we're fighting against. Remember, the Holy Spirit said He'd keep us up to date of what's going on. Would you turn to Matthew 16 for a moment? Matthew 16. In verse 5. And when His disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "It must be because we forgot, we didn't take no bread, we forgot it." But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Oh, you boneheads, no, oh, you little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you've not brought no bread? Because you've brought no bread. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Now you got to remember the word leaven means evil. Then they understood that He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that's what's going on right now. Matthew 24. Beware. Know the doctrine. Matthew 24. Verse 3. Now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, "Tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of Your coming in the end of the age?" And Jesus said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in My name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Is it happening now? Yeah. "But nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there'll be famines," as there are famines, "pestilence and earthquakes in various places, the most there has ever been." And it's going to continue. "These are the beginning of sorrows." See, we've already been under the beginning of sorrows. Why? Because all of this is under the spirit of Pharaoh. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation," which is the next event, "and kill you, and you'll be hated by all the nations for My name's sake, and many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because the lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Please understand, in this saying, these things are going to take place under the control of the spirit of Pharaoh. Under the control of the spirit of Pharaoh, that veil still remains. Has everybody got it? Why? Because what are the two spirits that are under control of Pharaoh? Pharisees and Sadducees. And that veil still remains until an individual comes to Christ or gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus commanded. It is a command. It wasn't an ask you. He said, "I command you," go to Acts 1. In verse 4. Might as well get this over with. And Jesus raises from the dead. 40 days he hangs out, shows himself up in all kinds of areas, talking to his disciples, and he's getting ready to go home now. 40 days is up. And he gets them all assembled. And being assembled together with them, he what? He commanded. Please underline it, highlight it, do something with it. He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to what? Wait from the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So it's a command to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what removes the veil, the scales. That's what breaks the spirit of Pharaoh and Sadducee off of your life. Now, I'm not saying that that can't come back, because the devil, you know, always waits for an opportunity, doesn't he? Just because you get free one day doesn't mean that the devil is trying to reattach you the next day. You know? Religion is a killer. You know, it's always associated with pride. Let me share something with you, very important. I think it was about 4 o'clock in the morning I heard this. I heard pride is the highest, pride is the highest ignorance an individual can be. I thought, what? And he repeated it. He said, pride is the highest ignorance an individual can be. I thought, whoa. You know, we don't realize how pride really messes somebody up. It's the number one killer of mankind. It is the highest ignorance of a man. Of course, of a woman too, all right? Of mankind. It is the highest ignorance a person can obtain. Has everybody got it? It's pride. So in this, he says, I command you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? You don't think the devil comes and tries to put those scales back on and the veil back on? Believe me, I can see believers that walk in the streets with bags on their head and they don't even know it. Claiming to be believers. Once we're baptized in the Spirit and let it go. No longer maintain the anointing, but caught up in the world. They went right back into survival instead of staying in surrender. Never attached to their first love, but self. Is everybody okay? Oh, glory. Let's go to Matthew 15. You know, there used to, in the world, I remember watching this program, and this comedian came out, and he had a bag on his head. He was known as the unknown comedian. I mean, the guy was kind of funny then. I don't remember what he said. Probably I laughed at anything anyways then. I was a heathen. But there's unknown believers. They're walking around with bags in our head. They're unknown. They don't even know it. And they're following the ways of the world. And the wicked, in the sway of the wicked one, are not following according to Christ. In Matthew 15, is everybody there? Let's start at verse something. 1. Let's read it. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In other words, they seek the hand of God, not the face of God. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines of the commandments of men. They use worldly intellect. They speak worldliness. Does everybody understand? In this area, it's nothing more than going to a, what do you call those hypey things? Motivational meeting. They get all motivated and they go out and fall on their faces. Because there isn't any truth that set them free.
Yeah, let's just get motivated. Hallelujah, God's good. Yeah,
and no truth. It's all emotional. It's soulish ministry. It isn't truth. Let's go a little further. Acts 23. Traditions, teachings, the commandments of men. Why are they doing that? Because the veil is still there. It hasn't been removed. But they're taking the doctrine and teaching it according to the traditions of men, not according to the leading of the Spirit, because their veil still lies there. In Acts 23. In verse 1. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. And Paul said to him, 'God will strike you, you whitewashed wall.'" Yeah. "For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was a high priest, for it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other part were Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. Man, are they twisted up, man. Gnostic. "And no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, for the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, 'We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God.' Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by the force from among them and bring him into the barricades." Paul, they wanted to kill him because he was a threat to their belief system. Now, there's another organization called terrorism that if you're a threat to their belief system, they want to kill you. Hello. Do you see the rising of Gnostic and Pharisee? Gnostic and Pharisee under the rule of Pharaoh, the spirit of Pharaoh. Go to Matthew 23. Let's get right to it. Matthew 23. In verse 1, Matthew 23, verse 1, "Then Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men.'" Come on, read it with me. "They make their pestilence broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplaces, and being called by men, 'Rabbi, Rabbi.' But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. You know, and this is where, and please don't be offended, because I see a lot of foolishness in the area of reverend. Come on, they got these idiots on TV calling themselves reverends. But they promote abortion, or they vote for people that put in abortion. They're no different. They are under the spirit of Pharisees. Yeah, reverend this and reverend that. They're at every big disaster or tragedy trying to promote themselves. Yeah, I'm here to rescue me and God. These guys are idiots. And they are bound by the spirit of Pharisee. They proclaim to be men of God, but they promote death, same-sex marriage, and everything else. And they will stand before my Father and cook unless they turn their ways. But it's not the men. It's the spirits that use them. It's the spirit that used them. Is everybody okay? Praise God. It blows my mind. Every time I see it, I got to go, psh. Reverend such and such, yeah, who just got somebody pregnant and they're having the... They all showed up at Michael Jackson's house, you know. Yeah, man, we want to promote... I mean, they all knew he was ODing all the time and a drug addict. Nobody tried to help him, but they got there when he was dead, so they wanted to collect, they wanted to promote themselves off of his death. Pharisees. Praise God. Verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you. I love this part. Woe to you means without mercy. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Idiots, boneheads. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Come on, read this with me, man. Have fun. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel the land and see to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the temple is nothing but whoever swears by gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind. For which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, swallow a camel, praise God. I wonder why they get like that. They swallow camels, praise God. I know the Lord wanted something there. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore you are witnesses against yourself that you are sons of those who murder the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Barasha, whom you murder between the temple and all the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Wow, we did a lot of woeing. Modern day Pharisees have a system of scriptural interpretation based on tradition, not by humility of seeking the Lord. Their zeal is to protect the scriptures. But they have not profited people, and they have prohibited people from receiving the truth. They memorize the Bible, yet can't obey the Lord. They love the scripture more than the presence of God. They preach hell and brimstone to control man by fear, misusing the love of God, bringing soulish feelings in the area of guilt and condemnation, but not in correction to submitting to the commands of the Spirit that brings freedom. They're more concerned on how many souls are saved and so many, instead of how many souls are set free. They're concerned about building a reputation. They look for fame. Yet they are hypocrites because they cannot do what they preach. We are in these days right now, and it's getting worse. And there'll be more and more in exposure. More. In Luke 18, would you go there with me, please? Verse 9. 18:9. Praise God. Read it with me, please. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one Pharisee and another tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this tax collector standing next to me praying. I fast twice a week. Look at me, Lord. I give tithes and offerings and of all I possess. And the tax collector, look at him standing over there, Lord. He's over there far off. Would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humble. Humble. Religion always promotes pride. The highest level of ignorance. Go to Matthew 5. God is looking for humbleness, humility. Matthew 5:17. He wants us to preach out of the Spirit, not out of the intellect. He wants to witness, wants us to witness out of the Spirit, not the intellect. Is everybody there? In verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa, there's no way that can be done without the presence of God. There's just no way. It's the righteousness of Christ, not self-righteousness. Go to James 4. James chapter 4. Modern day Pharisees. You know, you got to remember who killed Jesus. Pharisees. I mean, we know Satan used them, right? Amen. So these religious groups, they're also bound by Pharisees and Sadducees, Gnostic and religious spirits.
You don't believe in God, I'll kill you.
Oh, good love. Is everybody there? James chapter 4. Verse 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. In other words, you weren't obedient. So what right do you have to ask? You'll get the voicemail of the Lord. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Flesh. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Of course he does. Why? Because he's now under the rule of Pharaoh. And his two strong men, principalities, are Pharisees and Sadducees, running with the Gnostic spirit and the religious spirit. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives what? More grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This word grace means God's plan. He gives more of His Word. He gives more truth to you. Grace is God's plan of escape from the deception of the devil and from the wrath of God. That's grace. It doesn't give us a right to sin. Well, I got grace. I'll just go out and fornicate for a while. Well, you're laying with grace. That's the problem. And it ain't the spirit of grace. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He gives more grace to the humble. In other words, He's going to release more to the humble in combat strategies and anointing to overcome. Amen? John 5. Glory. Is everybody okay? And some people are going, man, I'm going to send this teaching to a few people. There's a couple of Pharisees I'd like to send this teaching to. John 5:38. Jesus says, but you do not have His word abiding in you because whom He sent, Him you do not believe. You what? You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. In other words, they were more in love with the scripture than with the person. I remember one time I was ministering in the jail, because there's a lot of Pharisee in there. And I shared with everybody. I said, okay, man, put your Bibles away. Like, what? So why don't you guys put your Bibles away for a couple days? I had one guy come up to me and tell me, man, I sleep with my Bible. It's running underneath my pillow. He was trying to convince me that the word was penetrating the pillow and the feathers and getting into his head. Yeah. And the whole thing was trying to free them from Pharisees and Sadducees so that they would seek the Lord. See, they're the ones that during worship, they sit down and read the Bible. Yeah, I'm so holy, I don't know what I'm doing. Man, they can quote scriptures left, right, upside down, even the page numbers. And they get offended if you don't read their kind of Bible. Ooh, or skip their Sabbath. You're going to die, you don't come to church on my day. Jesus blew their theology. He healed on the Sabbath. He tried to tell them, come on, you guys, wake up here. It's not about the Sabbath. He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. You're to be coming with me and following me. Every day should be the Sabbath. That's to enter his rest. It's not a one-day event. Well, I think I'll get holy today. It's the Sabbath. The rest of the week, I'll just cheat, lie, and steal. Swear, cuss, go to the bars, you know. Oh, but Sunday comes, yeah, I'm there. Saturday comes, I'm there. See, it's not a day. It's a relationship. See, they were so busy trying to protect the scriptures and the word of God and prove how much they knew that Jesus stood right in front of them and they didn't even know who he was. They couldn't tell God. The only way they were, I think some of them were looking for him to come up with machine guns and stuff during that period of time, because they wanted him to rescue them from the Romans. And he wanted to rescue them from themselves. That's what we're to do. He says, if you want to be my disciple, my first requirement is that you deny yourself. That's what it's about. It's not about religion. It's not about a day. I thank God we have this word. But you know, the disciples didn't have a word. They didn't have the Bible, did they? No, but they had the presence of God, who was the Bible. My sheep know my voice. Let's close at Acts 17. Acts 17 and verse 10. Everybody there? Let's read it together. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether there are these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. Both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now I want to express this in the area that when they went there to preach, they received it, didn't they? They received it. Why? Because they were backed by the anointing. They received it gladly. Then they searched the scriptures, and the scriptures were confirming what they were preaching, because the anointing was backing them, and they were becoming free. In verse 16, then while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epirean and Sadduc philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. This was a prime time for Paul to bring the truth. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'The Unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of all this to all by raising him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, 'We will hear you again on this matter.' So Paul departed from them, from among them," the unknown God that they didn't know. But see, Paul was backed by the anointing, wasn't he? And many got saved, but it wasn't just about getting saved. They got freed from the spirit of religiosity, from the spirit of Gnostic, from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And now they can see. Remember, we are not fighting flesh and blood, but powers of darkness and wickedness in heavenly places. We must stand strong. Maintain that anointing that God has placed in you. Stay filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. For he will show you things to come. He will lead you and guide you to all truth, and even the truth of his word that he wrote. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Let this seed grow and bear fruit for your glory, Master. Keep us hidden in the secret place. Feed us from your throne room and cover us with your wings. Our hope is in you, my Lord. Prepare us for those things to come, that we may be united in spirit, truth, and in power through the blood of the Anointed One and His anointing, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God glory.